Let's talk about freedom for a few moments. We've heard the story of Simeon. In Scripture, we also heard the story of Anna. These two are the main actors in today's Scripture. Jesus didn't do a whole lot. He's just a baby in this story. Carried by his parents, held by Simeon, gazed upon by Anna. But Simeon and Anna are the ones that do something in this story. They're the ones that are hungering, yearning for the salvation of Israel. This salvation they looked for was at least in part freedom. Now imagine for a moment that you're driving down the road. I think most of you have done that at some time. As you're driving down the road, you come to a fork in the road. Which direction do you go? Do you go right or do you go left? Well, nobody has set up a roadblock. There's no debris in the road, so you can go either direction you want. So you turn right, say, and you go down, and then you come to another fork in the road, and you say, huh, do I want to go right or left? This time you go left, because there's no roadblocks anywhere. You have the freedom to go whichever direction you want to. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? How was the situation in Israel? Well, as we read the Old Testament, we see that first they were living there in their kingdoms, having a good old time. Then along come the Assyrians. The Assyrians bully them for a while, defeat the northern kingdom, carry them off. Then the Assyrians are defeated. Freedom! Well, not quite. Then along come the Babylonians. The Babylonians, after many decades of siege and warfare, defeat Jerusalem, carry the people off into captivity. Then come the Persians. The Persians defeat Babylon, and the Jews are thinking, freedom! The Persians give them the freedom to go back to their land, but they're never really in control. The Persians are still in control. Then the Greeks come along under Alexander the Great, and they defeat the Persians, and the Jews are thinking, freedom! But it's not quite, because you have the Greek Empire in the north and the Greek Empire in the south, and they're not quite in agreement with each other, so they're always fighting in your territory because you're stuck in the middle. But then, about 165 BC, comes Judas Maccabeus, the hammer, and he defeats the evil Greeks. And finally, the Jews have their own kingdom again, freedom! But not quite. They were still weak. Their rulers were still not very good rulers. Before too many years come along, there's such chaos that even the leaders of the Jews invite the Romans to come in and rule over them. By the time we get to this time of Simeon and Anna, the birth of Jesus, Rome is in charge and freedom is far, far away. So here we have Simeon and Anna, two people that even by our reckoning today we'd figure are senior citizens, older folks. A lot of times we today think that freedom is only a yearning of young folks. We associate it with youthful rebellion. But that's not the way it is. Even these old folks, even Simeon and Anna, wanted freedom. Today when we think of freedom, we do think about child rebellion, youth rebellion. We think whatever our parents want, we'll want something else. Our parents want us to go to college, well, we'll join the army. Our parents want us to go to summer school, we'll get a job. Our parents want us to eat more meat, well, we'll choose broccoli. Well, maybe not. Adults, well, they don't care about freedom. They just go about doing their duty. Simeon and Anna, however, wanted freedom. Wanted freedom for themselves and freedom for their people. Let's go back to our illustration for a moment. Here you are driving down the road. Looks like complete freedom. You come to a fork in the road. You can go right. You can go left. But how about if you have to go to work? What if your urge, your need to go to work keeps you turning right all the time because that's what takes you to your workplace? You see a road to the left. No, I can't go that way. There's no roadblock or anything, but I have to go to work. Or what if you have an irrational urge to always turn right? Nope, can't go left. Have to turn right. There's different kinds of constraints here. It's not necessarily an external constraint, but an internal constraint. One reason young people don't think that their parents understand freedom is because they see their parents always going off to work, always trying to make a living, constrained by the need to have a place to live, constrained by the need to give their kids something to eat. From one perspective, our lives might look free, but we don't always feel free. But what about the idea of being completely and absolutely free? No restraints, no constraints, the ability to do whatever we want, whenever we want. Well, let's try our illustration again. We understand what it is to have the possibility of turning right or turning left with neither way blocked. We understand that while one road might look enticing or at least interesting, it'll never get us to work on time. But have we ever thought about what's right in front of us? The road itself. Sure, we can go right or we can go left, but how about that way? Can we go that way? What, there's no road that way? Big deal, I want to go that way anyway. Who needs a road? Have you ever thought about how roads give us bounded freedom? Roads don't allow us to go absolutely anywhere, but allow us to go only certain places. But we want complete freedom, don't we? So down with roads. But how far would we get without roads? Some terrain might work okay. Or some of us might have an ATV, an all-terrain vehicle. Any of y'all ever seen those before? You can get a lot of places in an ATV, can't you? But you still can't get everywhere. When they say all-terrain, they're thinking a little euphemistically. I've seen a lot of mountains that there's no way through them. You might be a walk or a hike or a mountain climb through them, but there's no roads. Back in the olden days, when the land was first being settled, when there were no roads, the process was slow and arduous. Why? Because there were no roads. They had to build the roads as they moved west. How would your life be if every time you wanted to go to Mount Pleasant or Gilmer, you had to build the road first? Oh, it might not be so difficult if you're building a road and all you have to do is cut down the trees and make the road smooth, but what do you get when you come to a river or a creek? Build a bridge. What kind of freedom did Simeon and Anna seek? What kind of freedom did they expect to get from this baby Jesus, this Messiah? Were they expecting to get an absolute, I can do whatever I want kind of freedom? I don't think so. To begin with, this idea of I can do whatever I want, that kind of freedom is a modern Western phenomenon. It's based on our understanding of individualism. It comes with an assumption of wealth, limitless personal resources. It also comes with a network of roads, literal and figurative, in which we can exercise our choices. Simeon and Anna, however, were looking for freedom in which they could live as God's people. How horrible, we might think. That's not freedom, is it? First you have the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Persians and the Greeks and the Maccabeans and then the Romans. Isn't that enough? And now God wants to come and replace them? One tyrant for another? If we have a view of reality that says that apart from external constraints, roadblocks and the like, we can do anything we want or go wherever we go, we're living in a fairy world. Let's consider our illustration one more time. Let's look at it from the perspective of the car. What kind of freedom does your car have? Oh, it's a silly question. It's an inanimate object. It doesn't have any freedom at all. But bear with me just a moment. Cars can go anywhere that we take them. They do best on roads. Well, they can go some places without roads. Sometimes we can drive them out in the field. They'll wear out more quickly. They'll break down more frequently. My cars, at least, were made with roads in mind. They travel more smoothly, more quickly, more freely, and they last longer if they ride on the kind of surface for which they were made. Change the picture for a minute. Anybody here like trains? I like trains. My grandparents' generation, all the men worked for the Illinois Central Railroad. They're railroaders. When I was a kid, I liked living in Japan where we rode the trains all the time. Compared to a car, how much freedom does a train have? Not a whole lot. It has to stay on the tracks. How far will a train go without the tracks? If it falls off the tracks, will it be able to get up and get back on? Will it be able to go faster? No, needs the track. But if you give it a clear track, away it goes. They say, oh, that's the way it's made. It doesn't have a choice. That's the point. Well, we have the power of choice. Our choices work because of a network of options presented to us by our nature. Many of y'all ever seen the movie that came out a couple years ago called Sky High? Sky High is a movie about a high school for superheroes. Wouldn't it be great? You decide when you're a kid, I want to be a superhero. I want to be really, really fast. I want to be able to fly. I want to have super strength. I want to be like Superman. We hear that and we think, oh, it's like some of our school districts that have more options, like maybe an engineering high school or a high school for health professions or a high school for performing arts. You go and you learn that particular skill so you can do that in life. But in this movie, it wasn't that you said, oh, I want to be a superhero when I grow up. I want to get powers, so I'll go to this school. No, you already had the powers, and you went there to learn how to use them. You either had them or you didn't. Our choices, our freedoms, are not absolute. They always exist within a framework of possibilities created by our nature and by the nature of our environment. Let's change the point of view for a minute. Who made you? Who best knows your nature? Who best knows your environment? It's God. Who then might be best equipped to give you not only the most, but the best kind of freedom? I mean, I have the freedom to fly. I could walk outside today. I could stick my arms in the air like Superman and jump and go flying through the air. None of y'all are stopping me, right? But I'm not made that way. I can't do that. There's so much we want to do. We want absolute freedom. Some of you may have once upon a time wanted the freedom not to go to school. The freedom to stay at home and watch TV and play video games. What's a TV? Any of y'all have a TV? How'd it get there? Back in the days before universal schooling, what did our ancestors do? Did our ancestors just, instead of going to school, just stay at home, watch TV all day? Well, no. Why not? Well, it's because some people submitted themselves to the structure of education so they could learn and develop the technological and scientific skills to invent television and give it to us. Okay, so we don't need that anymore. We've already had all the schooling we need. They've invented television, so now we just stay home from school or work, right? Well, what else do we need? Well, what about electricity? Do y'all have televisions at home? How many of your televisions run on electricity? How many of your televisions require somebody to come install an antenna or a satellite dish or a cable line? Or maybe you just pull the broadcast out of the air. You still have to plug it into the wall to get electricity from somewhere? And then what do you watch? Do you just watch the snow on the screen? Static? Oh, there's programming. Does it take education to produce the programming? So we think, oh no, I don't want education, I want freedom. But it's submitting ourselves to education that gives us freedoms that we wouldn't have otherwise. Well, maybe it's not freedom from school that we want. Maybe it's freedom from our families. Freedom from demanding parents, demanding children, a nagging wife, a demanding husband. I want someone who will let me do what I want to do all the time. Maybe you've seen this in some families around you. Mom or dad decides that complete freedom is better than the drudgery of responsibility. Great, awesome, isn't it? No dad to boss you around anymore. No dad to watch over you and catch you doing what you're not supposed to be doing. But there's also no dad to help support the family. So mom has to work all the time just to make sure you have a place to live, just to make sure there's food on the table. There's no one there to encourage you, pick you up when you fall. No one there to show you how to avoid the mistakes you might make. Maybe some of us can see now that the absolute total freedom not only isn't possible, but isn't necessarily good for us. Simeon and Anna waited eagerly all of their lives for freedom from God. A freedom that comes from living under God's rule. A freedom that would come in Jesus. Simeon and Anna saw that freedom in prospect, but they didn't get to see its fulfillment. They only saw it far off at a distance. We today have an advantage over them. Jesus is in our past. He's won for us the freedom from sin. Freedom to be God's people. Do you want freedom today? Do you want freedom offered by the one who made you, the one who knows you best? Do you want freedom that is good for you and good for the people around you? You can find that freedom in Jesus. Consider what Jesus says in Matthew 11. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." On one hand, we might say, oh, that sounds so good. But we might also hear that word yoke. Y'all know what a yoke is? This isn't a Y-O-L-K, that little yellow thing in the middle of an egg. This is a Y-O-K-E, the yoke that connects oxen together as they pull a plow. What do you mean, Jesus? You want us to have a yoke? That doesn't sound like freedom. But what Jesus is saying here is take my yoke. Be connected to me. When you're connected to me, Jesus says, when you stay close to me, and when you're wearing a yoke, you don't have any choice but staying close. You're connected to me. That's where you'll find real freedom. You want freedom today? Like Simeon and Anna, you'll find that in Jesus. Let's pray.